brethren, and a very happy Sabbath to you all. Brethren, be in love and belonging, or like we call it today, fit in today's term, are the desires of every human heart. God made us with these desires. He put it inside of us. But many people have lost the sense of being loved and belonging. Our sermon for today will be about one such man. His name was Mephibosheth. He was the son of Jonathan, the son of King Saul. He didn't know he was loved or belonged anywhere, but love reached out to him and brought him into a king's palace and into belonging he had never dreamed would be his. We hope also to learn about God's kindness. Our main verse for today is found in 2 Samuel chapter 9. By the time in David's account, he is well established as king of Israel. Saul's house no longer opposes him, neither do the Philistines. David is at peace. We can confirm this if we turn our Bibles for a second to 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 15. In 2 Samuel, chapter 8 and verse 15, we read, "So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered judgment and justice to all his people." Brethren, this is the ruler that God had intended Israel to have, a king who will follow God and rule the people of God with justice and righteousness. King David is the man after God's own heart who foreshadows the future King of Israel, Jesus Christ, who will reign with justice and righteousness over all the earth forever and ever. You can read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now, at this time in history, King David remembers his promise to his best friend, Jonathan. Brethren, Jonathan knew this day would come in David's life. He knew David would be king because he understands God's will in the death of his father Saul and the anointing of David. Foreseeing this day, Jonathan made this request, and we can find about that request in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 14. He says, basically, "If I am still alive, would you not show me the love kindness of the Lord, that I may not die? And you should not cut off your love kindness from my house forever, not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." Brethren, King David promised he would do just that what Jonathan has asked. By the way, in those days, when one king took over from another, the new king would usually kill everyone of the opposing or oppressing royal family to secure peace on his new kingdom, thus leaving no rebels still alive. But the covenant between Jonathan and David assured that this would not happen. We know of King David's grief over the deaths of Saul and Jonathan, so we know that Jonathan did not live to see David's becoming king or to see this covenant fulfilled. It's very important. But brethren, David is a king who keeps his promises. The verses for this morning, or this afternoon for sometimes, would be a question that is asked by King David. David asks, if there is anyone still left of the house of Saul whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake. We are reading now from 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. So here is the big question. Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? At the height of David's glory and fame as king of Israel, he could have begun to rule in many ways. He chooses to begin by extending love. David's promise to Jonathan prevails over the hate Saul's house had shown King David. David's loving kindness here, as we read, blesses without expecting anything in return. But brethren, to love like this is also very dangerous, for Jonathan's heir could rise up against David at some point and claim his rightful place as king, but this is a chance that David's love is willing to take. We know King David would not hold anything back from God, being good or bad. And we can read about this in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, in our verse for today, David is living out his connection to God. We are seeing the fruits of a life lived in love with God. And by the way, brethren, love seeks to bless others. We have to remember that. Loving kindness from God, David says he wants to show kindness in this verse we just read. And the writer of the book clarifies in verse 3 that it is God's kindness that David wants to show. It is not David's kindness, it is God's kindness. We have to be very clear about this. Regular human kindness and God's kindness are not the same thing. God's kindness is much, much more. Kindness in this verse is translated in the Hebrew word chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D. Chesed is God's love. It takes many words to describe how God loves, but here are some of the concepts in the term ches, or what is called God's kindness in this verse. Mercy is in God's kindness. Mercy is something that one in a high position can give one in a lower position who needs help. Here, brethren, King David can give help or mercy to one in a lower position. God's kindness is faithful. He keeps all his promise and freely offers rescue. He used to do it back then and he does it today. God acts to save because that is how he is. It is who he is. All that being said, King David is going to extend the love he has received from God to Jonathan's heir or descendants. He can give it because he knows it and he has it within him to give because David listens to the Spirit of God within him. Guess what, brethren? David happens to find a living descendant of Saul or Jonathan. There was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba, Z-I-B-A. They called him to appear before King David, and the king said to him, Are you Ziba? We can find about this in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2 through 5. Let's go there for a second. 2 Samuel, chapter 9, verses 2 through 5. In verse 2 we read, "And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they have called him to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' And he said, 'At your service.' Then the king said, 'Is there is not still someone of the house of Saul whom I might show the kindness of God?' And Ziba said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet.' So the king said to him, 'Where he is he?' And Ziba said to the king, 'Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar.' Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar." Brethren, just as God's love reaches out to those who are still caught in sin and who are unworthy, so David's love kindness reaches out to Jonathan's son, who happens to be crippled in both feet. The only thing that Saul's servant Ziba thinks to say about Jonathan's son is that he is crippled and in both feet. Melfi, as I would call it, to make it simple for all of us to understand, probably cannot walk. Or if he does walk, it's probably with very great difficulty. By the way, in the ancient Near Eastern cultures, being crippled or having an infirmity was to be considered useless and unworthy. The cultural assumption was that the sufferer somehow caused his lameness by somehow displeasing God. That's what they used to think before. Brethren, this is often a question we will ask in our own suffering. Did I bring this on myself? Did something my parents did cause me to have this affliction? Is God punishing me? 1,000 years after this event, one of Jesus Christ's disciples asked Jesus as they passed by a man blind from birth. And we know about this verse by heart. We find it in John chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. They said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" And Jesus Christ answered, "It was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was in order that the word of God might be displayed in him." Brethren, have you considered that the very thing that causes you the most distress and pain might be the very thing that God uses most powerfully to demonstrate his love and presence to you? Hard questions, huh? How then did Jonathan's son become crippled, you might be asking? His account is told in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. Saul was notified that Saul's and Jonathan has perished in the battle against the Philistine at Jezreel, and the news threw Saul's house into a frenzy of activity in trying to flee before Saul's enemy could attack and kill them all. The Philistines were notoriously vicious and surely would have killed all of Saul's house, so they have to run for their lives. Saul's house also has feared David and his men, since Saul has been at war with David as well. Suddenly, Mephi, in the rush and panic to get out fast, his nurse dropped him. He was only 5 years old at the time. His feet were broken in the fall and apparently did not menstruate, so he became crippled. His nurse probably took him to the home in Lodibar where David found him. The people who took him were not wealthy people, but the place was a good hideout, though for a fearful young prince. But brethren, no one knew of the covenant made between Jonathan and David, so Mephi was essentially hiding from love and didn't know it. Let's read now verses 6 through 8. Now, when Mephi, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephi, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan's father's sake, and will restore you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you should eat bread at my table continuously. And in verse 8, he says, then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a decked up as I? Brethren, what a picture. Mephi is now a grown man. He has a 5-year son named Micah, as we will learn later. He probably thought that the king finally discovered his hiding place after all these years in hiding. He must have thought he was going to die. It says in verse 6 that Mephi bowed down to pay him honor. Dave quickly reassures Mephi that he's going to be all right. David says, Mephi, don't be afraid. Brethren, this is the first time anyone has spoken Mephi, his name, in these verses we've been reading. David knows Mephi's name. Before this, he's only identified by Ziba as the crip in both feet, son of Jonathan. As far as Ziba was concerned, he was a no-name, worthless fellow, perhaps except for the fact that he was related to Jonathan. In verse 7, King David says, don't be afraid. Where else have we heard someone in Scripture says, don't be afraid, when about to announce good news? Let me give you a few seconds so you can remember. We can recall the Archangel Gabriel when he came to Mary and said, don't be afraid. I come with a word of good news. Whenever angels appear with announcements of glad things or tidings, the humans are told not to fear or fear not, as God is about to bless them. We can observe the same formula here happening. King David is about to bless the sons of Mephi, the man of shame. David shows loving kindness to Mephi. David does three things to show his loving kindness. And these three things are what God does for us too, brethren. First, King David seeks Mephi out. Mephi did not seek King David. God's kindness and loving kindness seeks out someone to bless. King David, that will be the second, restores Saul's land to Mephi and makes him a man of wealth. He gives him a way to always provide for his family and thereby gives him his dignity. Mephi no longer has to live dependent on others. King David promised Ziba, provide Ziba to manage the lands, as Mephi could not do it for himself. God's loving kindness restored what is lost. What is most lost here is Mephi's dignity. A Psalms of David, Psalms 23, aptly describes God's restoration when he says in Psalms 23 and verse 3, he restores my soul. And thirdly, King David gives Mephi a place at his table. Belonging to the king's house, what a restoration for a displaced prince. Brethren, Prince Mephi is given a new identity as the son of the king, being made worthy to sit at the king's table and be part of his family. Must have been amazing to Mephi. Here he was, gripped and living on the kindness of others, and now he's lifted up to a place in David's kingdom. He's not a slave, but a son. He has been living as a poor person, and now will live like a prince. Sounds like a fairy tale, it doesn't? Brethren, it is impossible for me to hear this story and not think of Jesus Christ's ministry or mission on earth. In the Gospel of Luke, we hear that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. God's loving kindness seek out through his son, Jesus Christ. Responding in gratitude and humility, then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given your master grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephi, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. That is King David speaking. Now Ziba happened to have 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. We find this in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. David's kingship has already been summarized in chapter 8 of 2 Samuel as just and righteous. And here, brethren, King David demonstrates how true that summary is. King David is truly a king after God's own heart. His loving kindness to Mephi provides for him spiritually blessings. When David acknowledged Mephi before Ziba as one who is like a son to him, always eating at his table, he has given Prince Mephi a new place of respect in the community. He has lifted him from the place of shame to an identity as a royal son. He has physically provided for him as well. What mercy and what a welcome. And brethren, how will Mephi receive King David's invitation to dinner? We have seen how thoroughly David loved Mephi and how David's loving kindness is a picture of how God loves us today. Think about how Mephi received all of this. He says his face down himself before King David at the beginning and the ending of this meeting. Perhaps in the beginning, he threw himself down before David in a hopeless fear. But at the end of the meeting, with all of David's blessings, He throws himself down again and face down himself before David. What does this mean? Brethren, he is overwhelmed with gratitude, something we today lack of. How could he have ever imagined that his meeting with King David could end like this? His humility is real when he says, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? Indeed, what is any man that God should take notice of him? Yet, God does take notice of all of us. It is the greatness of God and the greatness of our need that causes him to reach down and rescues us out of this mess we like Miffy live and are in, brethren. And remember that our response to God's grace in our life be as full of humbleness as Mephi's response to King David. We have to be very humble when we receive blessings. Brethren, have you noticed that it is often the hardships in our lives that humble us and open us to God? Mephi's broken feet may have been this bridge to the throne of grace where God could be found. And David himself once invited to eat at King Saul's table, suffered rejection. You can remember about it, death threats and final exile as King Saul's son. How painful that was for King David at that time when he was not a king yet. But God's loving kindness to David proved sufficient during those hard times, so much that David learned to love unselfishly. And David knew exactly how to love Mephi because he knew what it was to be cast out from a king's table. But King David would never do that to Mephi, the son of his best late friend. Brethren, there are a few people mighty used by God who do not come through something equivalent to a creeping in both feet and find the love of God there in their darkest place. Can we imagine ourselves face down before the Lord as Mephi was face down before King David? What desertion, physical impairment, family history causes us to recognize our need and bend our knees to the King who can help? And this is what he will do for us. We can turn the Bibles for a second to Matthew 15, verses 30 and 31. Most people know this verse by heart. Matthew 15, verse 30 and 31. He says, "And this is what he will do for us, brethren. And great multitudes came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, dumb, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet. And he healed them, so that the multitude marveled. As they saw the dumb speaking, the crippled restored, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel." Brethren, today, someday, in God's future kingdom, we will all be restored to what was lost here in this planet. But for now, we wait in hopeful expectation of that day and experience in part what we will be then be fully realized. We know what we will be. We just hopefully expecting that moment in our lives, as we can find in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. Also, in James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is a rule we have to learn, brethren. Our final event in verses 11, second part, and verse 13, finds Mephi eating at the king's table regularly. And Mephi ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephi had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's households were the servants of Mephi. And Mephi lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. He accepted the loving kindness of King David. The narrator of 2 Samuel ends this verse the way he began, saying, Mephi was crippled in both feet, indicating that Mephi brought nothing to the king's table but his great need. That we might find Mephi eating with the kings is an act of pure grace. Brethren, love and belonging are written on the hearts of men and women because God puts those desires there in the first place. We look forward to someday eating together as God's family at one large table. King Jesus Christ has set a place at the table for each one of us. The Apostle John was given a glimpse of this heavenly reality. Let all of us try to picture ourselves there. In Revelation 19, verses 5 through 9, we can read about it. Revelation 19, verses 5 through 9. In Revelation 19 and verse 5, we read, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all of you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness acts of the saints. Brethren, for our last verse today, let's turn our Bibles now to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, it says, Jesus Christ speaking, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Brethren, we are all invited, but will all of us come? Let us remember during these feast days of unleavened bread that God is doing his work through us. Never forget that. That is the sermon, Again, a very happy Sabbath to you.